In the world today, mental health is an issue which thankfully more and more people are becoming aware of and comfortable speaking about. When choosing a professional to help you, what kind of service would you be looking for? At Lonvara, when asked to describe Mel Purcell's service, clients described it as real, compassionate, empowering, friendly, welcoming, inner strength building, a positive, safe, supportive environment, and she was described by one source as an absolute legend who enables change with love. Mel offers clinical counselling, hypnotherapy, and a professional service which is tailored to the individual. She has a personal approach and makes sure each client's experience is authentic to their needs while also ensuring full confidentiality. Winner of the 2022 Australian Allied Health Awards for Rural and Remote Excellence, you can self-refer or through your GP mental health care plan. Lonvara, believing in you. G'day guys, this week I was finally able to sit down with Devonport boy Fletcher Kelly. I'd really been looking forward to this one for a long time. Fletch takes us through his journey so far of being a twin, the advantages and disadvantages of this, and some of the tricks they've played on people and quirky things that twins do, which is pretty funny. We go back to the start where it's a miracle that his parents didn't kill him and his siblings with some of the shenanigans they got up to, his journey so far in life and football, and successes and setbacks that he's had along the way. The main part of Fletcher's sporting journey centres around a pretty bad injury that he had a couple of years ago leading into the finals for Devonport, and it's not too dramatic to say that emergency surgery may have saved his life. How he dealt with this tough time in his recovery, how he bounced back after missing a premiership as a result, I'm sure is going to give a lot of inspiration to people that listen to it, so hope you enjoy.
G'day everybody, welcome back to the Talk Hard Podcast. I'm Jake.
I'm Briley.
I'm Tony.
We hope you enjoy today's episode.
I get a phone call basically saying, Dad's not it.
This sit-down lawnmower is like about 3 metres long. By the time I was finished with it, was about half a metre.
A fully grown man sleeping with the light on. Shit, scared.
He's come out of my car with an angle grinder before.
It's just such an important thing for so many people.
And I thought, holy shit, I'm going to get delisted next tomorrow. Like, that's kind of put a line through me.
So that's why checking in on your mate or your son or your daughter or your player or your coach or whoever it is, you become the psych.
I just let him know that, you know, it's tough, but we're tougher.
And he just wrapped those big arms he's got around me and just said, mate, like, we'll work through this together. Like, oh, I absolutely love you.
The Talk Hard Podcast with Brendan Hinks.
Fletcher Kelly, welcome to the Talk Hard Podcast.
G'day, how are you?
Yeah, good mate, good. Good to have you in. It's been a long time coming. I think I was saying to you there before that I've had AFL players and I've had had a lot of busy people on, but I don't think anyone's been as hard to track down as you have been. So you must have a fair bit on your plate, mate. You're a pretty busy man.
Nah, not too bad. Pretty busy summer, so.
Yeah, yep. The old man's working you pretty hard, is he?
Yeah, he's got us working hard.
He must do. Now, the first question that I've got for you, mate, I just had a funny feeling this afternoon. I thought, because this is the first time that we've met, we've probably crossed paths a couple of times before, but this is the first time we've actually had a chat. And I thought, if you and your brother were clued on, you could probably play the most elaborate prank ever in that your brother could actually come in and answer all the questions as you, because you look strikingly similar. Burn the first twin that we've ever had on here. So the first question that I had for you is, what defining features for the people listening are the differences between you and Ollie? And this is handy for me too, because at some stage we're going to cross paths down the track and I'm either going to go up to Ollie and start talking to him, he's going to say, who's this flog? Or I'm going to start talking thinking that it's you. So I need to know. We need a bit of ammo.
There's not much. Not much that... Well, there's a lot that I can tell between us, but not much that other people can't. There's only a little freckle Oliver's got just below his eye,
yep.
Left eye. Yeah, that's what most people tell us.
Yep.
When I was younger, I had a freckle on my nose, but that's sort of faded. But other than that, most of our mates got pretty good at it now. So
yeah,
they can just start tell us apart. And
yep.
Boys around the footy club, I think it took them a bit to know what was going on. But I think they've mostly got a hand of it now. One down forward and one up back. So
yeah. So the coach has helped him out by the positions he plays you in.
Throw us down the other end.
Put you both in the midfield, they'd have a hell of a battle, wouldn't they?
They would.
Yeah. And I've got twin nephews, and I've got to catch up with them and actually look at them for probably a good half an hour before I can figure out which one's which. And sometimes you find it's through the personalities as well. Do you guys sort of have similar personalities as well?
Yeah, got pretty similar.
Yeah?
Yeah, pretty similar.
Yep.
Not much different between us.
It's
pretty basic.
Yep. And yous are pretty much the same build. Yous have always rolled with the same haircut just to confuse people.
Yeah, not much has been changed.
Yeah.
For a while, actually.
Yeah.
Long blonde hair for a while, so.
Yep. Do yous ever play tricks on people?
We've played during school. Oh, we swapped class a couple times, but I don't think the teachers really knew what was going on. But,
well, that's an interesting question. Who's cluier out of the two of you? Would they have noticed by your marks? Like, can one of you spell better than the other one? Was one smarter than the other one?
Or? Both got the same smartness. Not real smart at all. Yeah, she had no clue whatsoever. I think it lasted like 20, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And then we swapped back.
Yeah.
I think you got handed an assignment, so you had to get out of there.
Yeah. So. Yep. I was interested in asking you that because you always see on the movies and shows like that, like if people are in running races and stuff like that, one of them will hide around the corner and one busts his ass for the first 5Ks and then the other one runs home. You never tried anything like that in sports or anything?
Nah.
I was saying to you when we were walking in, it's probably the first time that I felt old on this podcast because I was saying to you, I remember dropping my kids off to Mindetta Primary School and there's a couple of little blonde-headed fellas running around that, you know, everyone loved and thought, how cool are these two little dudes? And now you could probably snap me in half. So, you know, yous are both grown up, that's for sure, and yous are both kicking goals literally on the footy field and that sort of thing. So, you know, one of the main reasons why I wanted to get you in, like I was fascinated by the twin stuff, which I'm sure you're sick to death of talking about, but you've been good enough to come in and agree to talk about it, but also I want to talk to you about your own footy journey because you've had a few setbacks and stuff, and, you know, I think there's a lot of learnings that people can take from it. So we'll get into the twin stuff first because that to me is the interesting part. Like I said, it's probably the most boring stuff to you. But what would you say sort of the advantages and disadvantages of being a twin?
Oh, there definitely is advantages. Like, yeah. For instance, on the weekend, we're in Melbourne and forgot my ID.
So yep.
Oliver went in first and dropped it on the ground and I picked it up. And it was one of those ones where they scan it.
Yep.
And they had no clue, so it still worked fine for us.
Yeah.
Got all the features and...
Yep.
Yeah. But yeah, there's definitely a few disadvantages with just stuff going Oliver's way, but I was the one doing it and...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but other than that, like, he can get into my phone whenever he wants.
Yep.
Just with face recognition, that works.
Yeah, well, that's another thing I hadn't thought of. Yeah. So that's not foolproof?
No, it's not foolproof. it's not quite foolproof for us.
Yeah.
But, it's... Good being a twin, in a way. Always got somebody there for you and always someone to do stuff with. And, yeah, you're not alone because you're always doing something that he wants to do with you anyway. And, yeah, and he's always there for a chat if you ever want to talk to. And it's pretty good being a twin.
Are you pretty tight? Like, you don't sort of get on each other's nerves much? Or?
Oh, we definitely do get on each other's nerves on the occasion, but, yeah. Pretty close.
Yep.
Pretty close, yeah.
Do you do, like, I know a lot of people say that, you know, twins can read each other's minds and know what each other are thinking and finish each other's sentences and all that sort of stuff. Does that ever happen with you guys?
No, not really. We do say some things that, like, we both definitely do think alike at times. Say something, like, he just said it, and then I'll come in the room and Mum's telling the same story and I'll say exactly the same thing to her.
Yep. Like,
she goes, yeah, you must be twins.
I've just heard that story. Yeah. And do people sort of compare you often? Does that sort of start to give you the shits over the journey? Do you sort of get compared to each other? And, like, if one's achieving something, you know, you get comparisons? Does that sort of play a part in...
Nah, not really.
Yep.
Not really at all. We sort of, do our own things, and there's definitely different features that, we go about it and...
So it's not that was the next thing I was going to ask you. It's not that hard to sort of form your own identity. You don't feel like you're always going to be linked to each other. Has it sort of affected you at all sort of growing up? Sort of,
not really.
This is me. I'm not, I know like you're always going to be a twin, but, you know, trying to make sure that people also recognise that you're your own person as well.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, Oliver's probably a little bit more quieter than me.
Yep.
So,
I got the right one then.
Yeah.
Forgot Ollie, I wouldn't get much out of him.
No, you wouldn't get much out of him at all. He's more quieter. But yeah, definitely more. There definitely is difference in between us.
Yep. Yep.
And definitely easy to create your own identity.
Yep.
It's easy on the footy field anyway. One down back, one down forwards.
Yeah. Yeah. No, like I say, if they threw you both in the midfield, you'd wreak havoc. Yeah. Do you reckon it's hard for people given the boat sometimes when they have you both running around out there?
Yeah, there's been a few times where it's gone one way and it should have been gone the other, but I guess that's just the disadvantages or the advantages of being a twin.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Do you have to correct them or you just take the votes? It just comes and goes.
Just take the votes. It comes and goes. It goes your way or it goes Oliver's way.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's the thing. I suppose it's going to swing both ways, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so, like, because you are sort of so similar, do you sort of get called Ollie a lot or get called Oliver a lot? Do people sort of mistake you a lot, or is it mainly because you hang around with people that know you, they can distinguish the difference?
Yeah, I still get called Ollie a fair bit.
Yep.
Mostly.
Do you just answer to it now, or do you?
Yeah, if he's not around, I'll answer to it. But yeah, it sort of took me a bit, but yeah, it's sort of what twins do now. They soon realise.
Yep.
We're pretty close, so they'll.
Yep. So basically you're saying, if I see you down the street, I've got to go up and look for this freckle underneath the eye before I talk and say, g'day, Fletch. Or...
yeah. Nah, I'm getting pretty lenient.
So basically just try my hand and see how I go.
We'll reply. One of us will reply anyway.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Or just look at me with a blank stare like, I don't know you. Why are you talking to me? So just obviously anyone who listens to the pod, mate, we love sort of talking about your stories and going back to your childhood. And like I was saying to you there before, I have got a fair insight into your childhood, so I'm quite interested in talking about this. So take us back to the start for you. So where were you guys born? And who's the oldest first?
I was the oldest.
Yep.
I was only by 3 minutes,
yep.
I think. Yeah, born in Launceston.
Yep.
Yeah, we both come out and I think we caused a bit of havoc when we were younger.
Yep.
Then Lockie came along, so there was 3 of us, and
yep,
yeah, we had a bit of fun when we were younger, I think, and yeah, we sort of started playing sports as basketball, footy, whatever we could really do.
Yep,
all doing.
Yep, pretty then, busy then, pretty
yeah,
active.
We were pretty active kids, and then
yep,
yeah, so whatever we were doing, all 3 of us were doing it, and it was always pretty competitive in the backyard.
Yep,
running races or shooting the basketball. Yeah, there was definitely a few Barneys between the 3 of us.
Yep.
But yeah, Dad was always there taking us to stuff, and Mum, and we were pretty sporty kids.
Yep.
Real sporty kids.
Yep. Pretty active. Yeah,
pretty active.
And just going back to when you were really little, like I hear that you developed a real liking for breaking stuff early. And somebody told me that that you were sort of stabbing holes in couches and you were putting screwdrivers in sockets and things like that, and really keeping your Mum and Dad on their toes. You were pretty active, weren't you?
I think we were keeping on pretty active.
Yeah.
Especially the 3 of us. It was one's doing this, so we got to try and beat the other by doing something else naughty. Or
Yeah,
throw the plates around the kitchen or climbing. So
yep.
Yeah, I think it was pretty hard for Dad when he was building the house. We're all over the shop.
Yep.
Getting into tools and throwing them around the joint.
He used to like to throw stuff, didn't he?
Just throw it.
Yeah, yep. And I got a good story through that your mum came in one day and you guys had done away with your nappies, so you're obviously very little, and she'd move you to one area and then you started breaking stuff, and then she moved you to another area and then you kept breaking stuff. Can you tell that story? Do you remember that one?
I think... I've got told it, but I don't remember it real well.
Well, if you're in nappies, yeah, you probably wouldn't remember much about it.
Yeah, we're done with our nappies, so we threw them all over the wall and made a mess with our poo.
Yep. And you're just about to move house or something too, apparently.
Yeah, I think
so
we were.
Your timing was good.
Yeah, time was good. So I think we got into one of them, got sick of throwing the nappies around, so we got into one of the pots and pans boxes.
Yep.
Started throwing them around the joint, and then got sick of throwing them around the joint, so we got into the plate box and just went havoc. Just went ham and smashed every single plate, I think.
Yeah.
And then Mum had a precious bowl or one of her ornaments or something.
Yep.
And we've got out of that and just threw it around the joint and just kept throwing it. Had glass everywhere, apparently.
Would have taken an extra couple of days to move house and just to clean up the mess.
There would have been glass everywhere.
Yeah.
I think that's what happens when there's 2 of us.
Yeah.
Or 3 of us.
Yep.
Would have been 3 of us, 2 of us.
So was Lockie born then as well, or was it just
Lockie,
the 2 of you?
Yeah, he would have been born then.
So he just went along with you guys, just learnt from the best.
Yeah, I think he was more of a maniac, though.
Was he?
Yeah.
He egged you guys on.
Yeah.
And how did you end up on your garage roof one day?
I think that's Dad's fault from leaving the ladder up. We like climbing when we're younger, so we thought...
Blame the old man.
We'll climb the ladder.
Yeah.
I don't think we're real old. 4 or 5 or 6 up on the roof. Yeah, I don't know how we got down.
Yeah, I don't know how your mum survived without having a heart attack. Apparently she wandered out the back and saw these 2 blonde-headed kids up on the roof. Well, there might have been 3 of them up there, who knows? But yeah, it's any parent's worst nightmare. Apparently she had to keep pretty calm and talk his down. You probably just want to jump off.
Yeah, probably. Trampoline nearby.
Yeah. And another one that I got sent through, apparently your dad used to like Bogue's draft stubbies, but he come home one day or your mum found them smashed all over the garage floor one day.
Nah, I don't remember that one. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if we threw them around the joint again.
Yeah.
Thought it's fun seeing glass fly everywhere
and
beer spill everywhere.
Well, you wouldn't be spilling them now, so that's why I knew.
Spilling them now.
That's why I knew it was obviously when you were younger. But it's funny that you and your brothers both went into building, because apparently you'd rigged up a plank to give yourself like a bit of a scaffold to get up to where the beer was, and one was handing them to the other one, and then the other one was throwing them on the floor, smashing them. This episode of the pod would not be possible without the support of Sam and the team at Infinite Joinery and Design. If you're like me and normally need to get these guys to come in after you stuff up your latest home renovation, here's an idea. Get them in first and save the hassle. Specialising in new home joinery fit-outs, renovations, kitchens, laundries, wardrobes, vanities and solid timber work and project management, Infinite have 3D design software, and Sam alone has over 20 years experience in joinery and project management. Located at 6 Bay Drive, Coiber, come in and have a browse of their colour selection studio, or you can find them on Facebook and Instagram. Or you can contact Sam on 0429 291 008 or email Sam at infinitejoineryanddesign.com. So don't be like me, get the experts in first and save yourself some money and a fierce dressing down from the better half. So you say that obviously sport played such a big part in you growing up. Were you just having a go at everything? Was it particularly like footy that you took a liking to?
Footy, basketball, touch footy. We did little athletics there for a while. Had a couple go training at cricket.
Yep.
But yeah, that was basically the main three: touch footy, basketball, footy. Yeah.
Yep. And I've been told that you went pretty well at basketball. Somebody told me to ask you about a team called the Mindetta Moo Cows. Does that ring a bell?
Yeah.
And who was the best player on that team, I've been told to ask you?
Who was the best player? We had a few good players.
Yeah.
Baino Lowe, he could shoot.
Yep. So this is a primary school tournament team or something, was it?
Flynn Ayton.
Yep.
Josh McConnell. They were actually pretty handy basketball side.
Yep.
They could probably go to a pretty handy footy side as well.
Yeah.
After that, Oliver, Lockie. We didn't do any train and run or anything. We just went out there and played, and yeah, we won the state champs.
Did you? Just rocked up and...
Just rocked up and won the Northwest champs, and then we thought, oh, we better have a couple train runs. And Richard Hugan, his coach down at Devonport now, he came by and took us over, and we had two or three trainer runs, went down to state champs, we ended up winning it.
Yep.
Yeah, there was pretty serious schools down there training.
Yep.
Flat out, and we were probably three or four trainer runs in, and we come out and we ended up winning it. So
just had a crack.
Yeah, had a little bit of a crack. I think it was pretty handy that we had a handy side with a few handy players in it. So.
Yeah. Makes a difference.
Yeah, it does make a difference.
And then yous all pretty much just went over to footy then, so nobody really sort of continued with their basketball?
Played all the way to under 18s. I had 1 year off in under 18s.
Yep.
But yeah, we sort of played basketball, and that was sort of only a muck around to under 18s. Played under 14s. I think we won state champs in under 14s.
Yep.
Under 16s, it was just a bit of a muck around, and then under 18s was just a bit of a muck around.
Yep.
It was sort of more footy. Yeah, from under 16s to 18s, so that was only sort of a filling sport on a Sunday or something.
Yep. Yeah, and yeah. It's funny that, like, obviously you guys sort of playing your footy and playing your basketball, you were all really tight, weren't you, from a young age. Has it surprised you that so many of your mates have turned out to be elite sports people? I know you won't call yourself elite, but I will, because it's the purpose of the pod. Everyone who comes on is very humble, but, you know, you've all achieved, you know, really, really good things. Is it sort of from competing against each other, or are you shocked at all that anyone did sort of go as far as they have?
Nah, sort of from competing against each other. I guess we've just got better and better. Especially, Bain's always had a natural talent, and then you've got Flynn. He's a pretty good, he's had natural talent as well. And then yep. Josh McConnell and Oliver and Lockie, like, you've sort of always been competing against each other. So I think that's just probably made us better sportsmen.
Yep.
Just always having that competitiveness or competing against each other. And
yep, because a lot of yous, like talking to Lockie, a lot of yous lived in the same area too, didn't you? So it wasn't just school, it was actually after school. And
yeah, it was after school, a lot of after school over at the Don Rugby Ground. We had Cowan, he was 2 houses down from us, and then yep. Josh Saul, he was 2 houses down from us on the other side of the street, and then there was us three boys, and then you had O'Bain and Keegs. They lived up on the hill, so we'd always, and then you had Will Atkins and Ollie Atkins, and that they lived down near Bain and just yep. down the hill. So it was always, we'll meet at the rugby ground after school for a kick, or throw the frisbee around, or ultimate frisbee, or yep. cricket, or it was always something to do after school, or not on training nights or something.
Yep.
Even Saturday mornings, we're going over there and having a kick.
Yep.
Yeah, it was a pretty good place to live in.
Yep.
Yeah, just always something to do. And
yep. And keep your parents happy too, get out from underneath their feet.
Yeah, not on our phones or iPads.
Not like these days, mate. Yeah, they probably weren't really, or they're probably only just starting to come in back then.
Start coming in.
Yeah. And you talk about, obviously this pod's about you, but I just want to touch on Lachie Cowan really quickly because he's just made his debut and I know you went over and watched him. Did you know from like an early age that he was going to be a pretty good player, or did he sort of blossom late, do you reckon?
He's always had that natural talent.
Yep.
Yeah, he was a natural sportsman with whatever. It actually sort of annoyed me. Like he could do whatever. Play bowl cricket, play cricket, bat, touch footy, he was fast, so he could do that. Basketball. Could shoot, could do, he's sort of always a natural sportsman. Doesn't surprise me that he went where he is, but that sort of, the Devils, he sort of, last 2 years in the Devils, he sort of took off, and he's a great football player. He's couldn't be prouder of him, really. He's real good. I'm stoked for him, especially seeing him play on the weekend. Couldn't believe it. Gave me goosebumps when he ran out.
Seeing
a kid that you've grew up with from a really young age. I think he moved in, we're still playing Auskick, so we would have been under 8s or under 10s he moved in, so we would have been only 9 or 10, and I remember him riding his bike around in the street, and we hopped on our bikes, went riding with him, because we sort of knew him, played in the same footy club down there, and bond just grew, I guess.
Yep.
And just seeing him, he's always a natural sports person.
Yeah, awesome. I was going to ask you that, like what your feelings were towards that, because obviously, there might have been a time where, you obviously wanted to make footy a career as well, as a lot of young blokes do. Like, is there any envy there or any, healthy jealousy or anything like that?
Nah, I'd like to be doing what he's doing, but
I
couldn't think of a better bloke to be doing. He's pretty humble.
Yep.
So, I'm stoked for him.
Yep. And we were saying there before, because I was actually over at the MCG myself, from going for, and obviously playing grand finals here is a big deal, but from going from playing at Devonport Oval and Latrobe Oval to walking into that cauldron, the MCG, with like 85, 90,000 people just going off their head, like, it wouldn't worry him one bit though, would it?
No, you wouldn't worry him at all. Yeah. Talking to him before the game, he had some sweat pissing off him. And
I think he was getting a bit nervous, was he?
I think he was a little bit nervous, but that's expected if you're playing in front of 88,000 people.
Bloody oath.
Couldn't be proud of him.
Another mate I want to talk to you about, and another one that's been on the podcast, and this is why I want to talk to you about him, because I know a little bit about their stories. Obviously, Bainan was very unlucky to not get picked up and go into the AFL himself.
You could tell he was definitely a little bit disappointed, but he always had in his mind that if he wasn't getting picked up, he was going to the sample. He was going to try and get picked up that way, and obviously he had a fantastic year over there, and I couldn't be prouder of him either, like the way he's gone about it. He's sort of made his own football identity over there, like small forward, he can run, even the way he's moving into the midfield as well, a few midfield minutes, and he's a good footballer as well.
Back on to you, mate, because obviously the pod's mainly about you, so talk about your footy. So you obviously had a lot of success early on, like you guys won, was it like 3 or 4 flags in a row, like in juniors at Devonport?
Under 14s we won both years, and then under 16s we won both years. I think we had Flynn coaching us in the under 14s for both years.
Yep.
And then under 16s was Bo Sharman, and then Charlie and Marsh in the second year under 16s.
Yep.
We had a pretty good team.
Yep. And
you can see that with most of them coming through now.
Yep. So most of them are still playing now.
The end of the seniors. So.
Yeah. Yep. And that's the key, isn't it, to a successful club? It's got to start at that junior level. And even when you see like sides that are winning senior flags, if the juniors aren't performing, then it's only going to last for so long, isn't it? Yeah. You've got to have that influx of youth coming through, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. Like, that's the way it needs to be. You look after your juniors, and you can see them coming through, and that's sort of the one club mentality that Dave Save brought in, and it's definitely working. You can see it. No club really wins 2 flags in a row without the juniors being around.
Yeah. And I was going to ask you that, like, now that you're a senior player, do you sort of put a bit of emphasis yourself on making sure you chat to the juniors or get around them or do a little bit with the juniors as well?
Definitely say g'day to them.
Yep.
Especially, with my sister, sort of their age, so you sort of know all the boys, so.
Yep.
You definitely go out of your way to say g'day to him and chat to him.
And your sister plays as well?
She has been.
Yep.
I don't know if she is this year. I don't think she is.
But how does she go? She'd have to go all right, wouldn't she? She'd be in a blood, surely.
Yeah, I think she goes all right. She likes to piss fight around outside, outside the contest. She just needs to get in there. No, she's good. She goes well.
Yeah.
She goes well.
Yeah. Just on your success when you were a junior, looking back, how does that affect your mentality? Because I know, like, when you're young, sometimes it's easy to get ahead of yourself. Like, if you guys are winning every single year, do you remember, like, what the feeling was? Did you just expect that it was just going to happen year after year, or did it keep you hungry, or, you know, did you get a big head? Can you sort of look back and remember sort of how you felt at the time?
I think the first one, that was the under 14, so I didn't really... We sort of had a real good side, I think. We went through most of the year undefeated. I think Alveston may have beat us a couple times, so we knew it wasn't just going to come to us. We actually had to work for it.
Yep.
Yeah, so we didn't get too far ahead of ourselves, but we knew we were up there and we could win it. And that was the same with in our second year. It was the same. I think we got knocked off by Alvey a couple times. They were always sort of our strong competitors.
Yep.
And they were always around, and we knew if we slacked off, they were going to come for us.
Yep.
And then, sort of under 16s, it was sort of Bernie and Alvey again. So they always sort of got one game on us throughout the year. But, we knew if we slacked off that we weren't going to win it. Like, we actually still had to do some work. So never got too far ahead of ourselves.
Yep.
Just sort of always kept cruising along and doing our work.
Yeah. And did your path as a junior follow the normal trajectory, or did you sort of get a taste of under-18s early, or did you wait till you were of that age? Or
I played a couple games. Second year under-16s, I played most of me under-18s. Played most of the year in under-18s as the second year under-16s with Wixie.
Yep.
And a few of the older boys, so Josh Saul, who lived in me court, he sort of pushing me to come up and play, and and then Wixie was sort of happy for me to come up, and he was sort of happy to have me.
Yep. And how did you find it sort of as a junior? Were you worried at all about stepping up to the under 18 level, or?
No, I was sort of always lucky to play that sort of second year under 14, so I knew I got a few seniors of under 16 games.
Yep.
So I was always sort of stepping up a little bit earlier than a few others, but the bigger bodies didn't worry me at all.
Yep.
Sort of doesn't worry me if I get a big hit or something.
Yeah, it's good to have the experience, isn't it?
Yeah.
Get used to playing against the bigger bodies. And I know, like, from a very young age, you started making a few rep squads. Did you play, like, in Tasmanian teams and that sort of stuff when you were younger?
I played in the under-12s stateside.
Yep.
We went over to Geelong with Bainan.
Yep.
And, we went pretty well. Then I was sort of in the Devils all the way up to sort of under 16s, under 17s, and then I started working, so it sort of got a little bit hard.
Yep.
I
was going to ask you that, so we touched on it there before, but was AFL like a dream for you, or did you sort of make the decision, well, I'm probably not going to make AFL, so I'm going to focus on work? Can you remember that time?
I sort of knew I wasn't going to make it.
Yep.
So I thought I'll start an apprenticeship and, I haven't looked back from it. But
yep. So what made you think that you weren't going to make it? Were you sort of getting overlooked for a few things, or was it just your own?
Just my own thing, I think. I just sort of thought, no, I'll go be a builder, following Dad's footsteps, and see if I like it. And if I don't like it, I can always go do something else.
Yep. And like I said, you obviously, showed a lot of promise there early as well, because I think I found out you won the under-18 NWFL Best and Fairest in your first year in the under-18, so you're only 17, is that right?
Yeah, actually it is.
Yep.
I think I probably had a few votes from Oliver.
I was about to ask you that. Has he sort of taken a bit of credit for it?
Yeah, he probably deserves it as well. There's definitely a few games where I thought, I'm not a chance, but got the 3 votes or the 2 votes that probably should have gone to Oliver. But
have you always worn similar numbers? Does that sort of make it confusing? Or I know you haven't this year, but or last year. But
yeah, we sort of in the juniors, and actually it goes back to under-12s. It was... we were sitting in Deloraine change rooms and they said, go pick a Guernsey. And that was sort of your number that you were going to be. And I ended up picking number 9. And then he ended up getting number 19. So we sort of have all the same Guernsey numbers throughout, probably the under-18s. And then when we started playing senior footy, he got 30 and I got 35, but moved back to 9 now.
Yep.
So we sort of always have been around the wearing the same numbers and that, which probably has helped us. 9 and 19, you can get them mixed up.
Yeah, if you're facing the wrong way.
Or... the wrong way, yeah.
Awesome. With your best and fairest, you apparently tied with Ollie for the Devonport Footy Club best and fairest under 18s at one stage, is that right?
Yeah, that was...
So they obviously didn't muck the votes up that year.
Nah, that would have been first year under 18s as well. Yeah, first year, I was under 17, so yeah, first year under 18s.
Yep.
So, that was pretty special.
Yep.
Definitely to know that, you've won it with your brother as well, so you can't brag about it.
I was gonna ask you that. This might be hard. You might not want to answer this, but do you ever talk about who's a better player out of the two of you, or does anyone sort of rib you about that? Or
nah. No, we definitely do have our moments where we say to each other, you won this or you won that, but we sort of... pretty calm about it.
Yeah.
Just go about our business our own way. So.
So if you take yourself out of the equation, you're a coach looking at you and your brother, who would you take?
Oliver's probably got the upper hand on me at the moment.
You're still recovering from an injury.
Yeah, mate. Still recovering.
How scary is it in this day and age how much we rely on modern technology? It's not till your phone dies or the Wi-Fi or power goes off that you realise you'd be lost without it. Well, recently my phone decided in its old age to die and stop charging, and on a weekend no less. So what do? Rather than waiting to speak to the network providers or retail outlets, which can be painful within itself, give Brad or Katie a call at Greenies Apple Repairs. That's what I did, and they had my old phone as good as new in hours. Greenies take care of iPhones, iPods, iPads, and pretty much everything else, and they won't cost you an arm and a leg. So next time you're stuck back in the dark ages with no technology, contact Greenies Apple Repairs on 0401 229 220, or you can contact them at www.greeniesrepairs.com.au or find them on Facebook. Now just to get onto this busted screen. Did you guys make your debuts together, your senior debuts, or did one sort of get in before the other one? I was sort of trying to research that and I couldn't find anything.
Nah, so Oliver played a game as a 17-year-old, it would have been.
Yep.
Yeah, 17-year-old against Latrobe. I played under 18s. Actually, I played reserves that day. I think the under-18s had a bye.
Yep.
And he sort of got the taste of it. And then we did a pre-season, and then he played another game. And then I played under-18s that year, or that game. And then, I played the seniors the next week, debuted two games after him.
Yep.
And then, stayed in the seniors ever since, really.
Yep. So you debuted when you were 18, were you? Or you 17?
Yep. Yeah, 18. Oliver debuted when he was 17 just to... late in the season.
Yep.
So you got one game, just a taste of it, and then into the seniors.
Did that sort of give you extra motivation to get in there? Were you sort of itching at all, or?
It gave me a little bit of motivation over the summer. It was probably, one of the best summers I've had.
Yep.
Yeah, got pre-season and did all the work and got in there a couple of weeks later, so.
Yep. Yeah. And so, like, for anyone that hasn't sort of seen you play, what sort of player would you say that you are? Like, if you had to describe yourself as a player?
I actually don't know. Like tackle and like contact.
Yep.
Yeah, that's probably one good thing I like.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I definitely do like the contact. And,
yep. Like hitting bodies.
Yeah, hitting bodies.
Yep.
I'm not a good runner, so I can't really run off or avoid the contact. I've sort of got to take it. So.
Yep. Yep. And for anyone that hasn't watched you, like, is Ollie a similar player to you, or do you have sort of differences in how you play your game? Or
Because
you play more of a backman, don't you? And he plays more of, like, mid to forward, doesn't he?
Yeah. Oliver's probably got a little bit more inside work than me, but that's probably just from him playing a little bit more midfield time. More than me, he played under 18s in the midfield, and I sort of played off the back line there.
Yep.
Then I debuted for me seniors and sort of played forward that year. Me and Oliver, and then last year Cooper Stewart went down, and then Benny Blacklow went down as well. So, sort of KB knew that I played there when I was younger, so he sort of moved me back there and haven't looked back since. I've sort of been stuck down there.
Yep. So, moving forward a little bit, obviously you had a few good years in there. So, what year was that you made your debut?
Yeah, 2021.
2021, yep. So that year itself, obviously we'll talk about how it ended for you because it didn't sort of end great for you, but how would you describe your year all up in 2021?
I thought I was going all right. It was my first year playing seniors. I wasn't expecting a couple games just to sort of get the taste of it, but I thought we're going all right as a team. We're definitely going well, it looks like. We're going to go close to winning it.
Yep.
I thought I was sort of trying to hold my spot week in, week out. But
yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And then obviously towards the end of that year, that's when you had your injury, wasn't it? That sort of kept you out of the... Did you play finals at all, or was it sort of leading into the finals when you hurt yourself?
Two games before finals, I think.
Yep.
Against Penguin, it was sort of the game to sort of... I think it was sort out top two or sort out top three.
Yep. And for people that don't know, can you explain your injury and what actually happened and why it happened and stuff?
I was going for a contest with the footy, and it just sort of bounced over my head, and Kurt Mason was coming at it, my own teammate, and I sort of was wide open, put my hands up in the air trying to go for the footy, and Kurt sort of come, he sort of was a little bit more smarter than me and sort of braced for himself, and just got me in the gut. And I thought, I was just winded. And I went down and just started vomiting. And I thought, I've never been this badly winded. Like, I'll be right. Like, and I just couldn't get up.
Yep.
I was just vomiting, couldn't get up. And it probably took 3 or 4 minutes for the trainers to get out because the footy was nearby. And I just couldn't get up. And then luckily the siren blew. And I thought, I'll be right. Like, I'm only winded. I'll just need to vomit a few more times. And I just couldn't stop vomiting. And I went into the change rooms and just sort of laid down, and I actually said to, well, Dad come down and said, oh, what's wrong? And I said, oh, I'll be right, I'm winded, I think. I felt like I needed a poo.
So you're still in pain at this stage?
I was in real bad pain. I thought, oh, I'll be right, like, I'll go out there and start running around again, and it might sort things out for me. So I went back out on the field, and Piddles goes, Dipper actually said to me, go for a lap, say, I'll go for a run along the boundary, go see how you feel. And Piddles come with me, and I sort of got to the goal post, and he sort of knew I was in pain, and he sort of took off on me. He goes, if you can't keep up with me, you might as well take your boots off, just as a little bit of a joke. And
yeah,
I thought, sort of thought, righto, I better go in there. And I went back in there, and they called the ambulance.
Yep.
And I got taken to Burnie and got a few scans. And they couldn't find anything. It was just, I don't know what they'll call it, just something. It was bruising or something. They thought I was just a little bit of bruising or something. So they thought, we'll keep you in overnight, because I was still vomiting when I was, every time I actually got up, I was vomiting.
Yep.
And
so your body was definitely trying to tell you something, wasn't it?
Tell me something.
Yeah.
I just had nothing to vomit, and they said, oh, we'll keep you in overnight, go have a shower. So I went and had a shower, and that was the most painful shower I've ever had. Just trying, because the oval was real bad at that stage. That was when it was just like a bloody paddock, cow paddock. So I stunk, and they said, go have a shower. And I put one of those hospital gowns on and went back and laid down, and they sort of said, oh, you're right to walk. I got up to go to walk and just vomited again everywhere. And they sort of said, right, I will keep you overnight, and took me down to the kids' ward. And
So were they giving you stuff for the pain, though? Like,
Yeah, they were, but...
It wasn't really helping? No,
wasn't helping much. Yep.
So it was just pain through the stomach, was it? Just like,
yeah, just real sharp pain.
Yep.
I just remember laying there in pain and just felt like I needed to go... Just wanted to go to sleep, like, just to try and stop the pain, but I couldn't.
Yep.
And then... I went to, that was Saturday night, so I went to, into the kids' ward, and was wide awake, got woken by a baby actually, screaming.
Yep.
And that was like 4:30, and I was feeling so much pain. I said to one of the nurses, I said, can I have some more pain relief, like I'm not, and then, they gave me something else, and it got to 6 o'clock, and I said to, it was actually Tully Duggan, Clay's, partner. I said, can mum and dad come in? Like, yeah, rightio. And I sat there all day just in pain, and they said, you need to eat something. So I ate something. The doctors come around a couple times. I think I had 4 of them come around to me. And they said, nah, nothing's wrong with you. Nothing's wrong with her. You'll be fine.
Mm.
And then
so they just thought it would just settle down, did they?
Just thought it would settle down, just a bruised kidney or something like that. And I remember texting everyone saying, like, it's only bruised, I'll be right.
Yep.
And I was just joking around with me, saying, come on, like, why'd you have to go to hospital for that? and then Sunday night, I had the surgeon come in, and I hadn't improved at all. Like, I was still vomiting and that. And he said, "Right, I'll take you in. We'll just put a couple of cameras in you."
Yep. And, so they hadn't run any, like, x-rays or ultrasounds or anything?
Yeah, they ran a couple of those gel scans or whatever it was.
Yep.
And, they weren't wasn't showing much up. And then I went in there, Sunday night. They said, "Right, I'll take you in." I think it was about 8 o'clock. And, they opened me up. They put a little camera in me just there. And they opened me up, and I think as soon as they put the camera in me, they realised something wasn't wrong, and they just cut me straight down the middle, basically.
Yep. And what did they find?
I split me bowel in two places, but it wasn't just a normal split. Like, it was basically cut in half.
Yep.
So
your bowel's like a tube.
Yeah, it's just a tube. I think they're like, they're actually fairly long.
Yeah.
Just around in your belly.
Yep.
And, and whatever I was eating was just going into my body and just sitting in there. And
So it actually wasn't passing through you.
No, it wasn't passing through.
Moving into the stomach cavity.
It was just, going in there and going into your bowel and just actually coming out inside of me.
Yep.
And I put the camera in. I actually said to Mum and Dad, "Oh, you only be an hour." Because I think Mum went home and swapped with Dad. "You only be an hour. We're only putting a camera in him. If he's any longer, like, something's happened."
Yep.
And I think it got, 3 or 4 hours later. They rang up.
Wow.
Rang up. One of the doctors rang Mum and one of the doctors rang Dad. I didn't think they knew they were together.
Yep.
And the doctor that rang Mum said, "Oh, we've saved your son's life. Like, if he was left any longer, he was probably going to be in a real bad way."
Yep.
And I remember waking up and Mum just being on the floor. I think she might have passed out or didn't like what was going on with me, because I had tubes coming out of my nose. Then another one. I had breathing tubes, and then one coming out of my nose, and then I had tubes coming out of my belly, and I don't think it was real good for her to see that.
Yep.
Yeah, and I remember, just being in hospital for the next week.
Have you talked to your parents? Sorry to stop you, mate. Have you sort of talked to your parents about that time, like how they felt? Like, because I went through something, not on that scale, but something sort of similar with one of my kids about 12 months ago, and I would imagine I would have been frantic, like, especially if you thought you were going to get a call after an hour and you hadn't done.
I think Dad had some work up there, so they were driving around looking at all them work sites, but
trying to keep their mind off it.
Trying to keep their mind off it, but I think that got pretty worn out. I don't think he had that much work up there, but I remember Mum was pretty shocked when she came in. I think she was pretty, well, they were all pretty stressed. Yeah, I don't think she liked when she walked into the surgeon's room and seen all the cords and stuff coming out of me.
Mm, yep. And so what did they tell you? Like, what was your prognosis? Like, obviously the rest of that season was finished. Did they sort of talk to you at all about footy moving forward or when you'd be right to play again? Or?
So I had doctors come in Monday they said, "Oh, you're pretty lucky. Like, you probably won't be able to play footy again." I just sort of shook my head and said, "Oh, I'll play again."
Mm.
And then things went downhill Tuesday and Wednesday. I got a real bad infection. And
so what was that from? Was it because they left it for so long?
Yeah, or? Just because they left it for so long, and just sort of all the stuff was inside of me, so it sort of spread and got infection.
Yep. So just, like, obviously I know you're not a doctor, but just, like, for people listening, like, they say that they saved your life. Would your body have turned toxic or something? Would it just, from this stuff leaking into your body? Is that
the infection would have just got that bad. I think it would have just taken over.
Yep.
And Tuesday night, I think that's sort of when me stats weren't real good at all. I think I was, like, cold and wasn't breathing properly, and I had like 4 or 5 doctors come in. They called some code over the system, and 4 or 5 doctors come running in, and I had doctors everywhere around me, and they took me in for a CAT scan just to see, like, they thought there might have been something else that was no good. But it was just the infection. They just didn't have me on the right antibiotics.
Yep.
So
they changed them pretty quick for you?
Yeah, changed them pretty quick. I think Wednesday and Thursday I was sort of slowly improving, but not really. I was still in a fair bit of pain.
Yep.
Then Friday and Saturday sort of started to look pretty good for me again.
Yep.
I think it was sad day. I was blown up like a big balloon because I wasn't, my bowel wasn't actually working. So I wasn't farting. I wasn't pooing. So I was actually, I was massive.
So you're just blowing up with air?
Yeah, blowing up with gas just because it wasn't working.
Yep.
And,
So was it still sort of like, again, just to get back to the technical side of it, do they just stitch your bowel back together? Is that how it works?
Yeah, I think so. That's what they did. Yep. I actually haven't really asked that.
Yep.
But I just presume it was stitched back together. And
And then you just still had like a bit of a blockage, did you, because of...
Yeah, just a blockage, just because it wouldn't... Obviously, it takes a bit of time to heal.
Yep.
I don't think it was healing as quick as they thought, but...
Yep.
The main doctor always said that it'll come back soon, it just needs time to...
Yeah.
So I was basically sepsis for the whole week. And I wasn't eating. I was just blowing up like a massive balloon.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Were you scared at all? Like, did it... Can you remember?
I don't think I really knew what was going on. I was on that many drugs and that, and I've always... Like, I still actually don't know really what was going on. I've had to ask Mum and Dad about it.
Yep.
I was on morphine and a few other things, and it's sort of all real, a little bit of a blank to me.
Yep.
Just because, I had that much going on, and I was real tired and just sleeping, and yeah.
Yeah, just knocked you about because you were sort of out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you talked there before about farting and pooing and stuff like that, and obviously, this will bring the pod down a little bit, but I remember there was a big roar and a big celebration the day that you finally did a fart. Is that right?
It wasn't a big fart, but...
My mum will enjoy that. I've never known someone to enjoy farts as much as her. So anyway, tell the story. She'll like that.
I think it was Friday or Saturday. I can't really remember. That's what they were waiting on. They were all the doctors and the nurses and that. And as soon as I farted, I had to tell them. And I remember, it was early in the morning. I had a pretty good night, like my first good night's sleep. And I woke up and thought, something's not feeling right here. And then, I just... little pop off, and it was pretty exciting times to be back working.
Never been so excited for one. And then everything else sort of started working after that.
Yeah, I sort of couldn't control it, so I was going to the toilet, and the poor old nurses.
And that's probably the graphic side of it over and done with, but we will give a shout out to nurses because, again, from my own experience, nurses are fantastic, aren't they?
They couldn't have been any better towards me.
Yep.
Yeah, I was lucky to have the nurses that I had.
Yeah. Well, for any nurses listening, keep up the good work. You do a bloody awesome job. This episode of the pod's proudly brought to you by J. Beck Mechanical Repairs. With the ever-rising cost of living, we're all looking for ways to save a few bucks so you can spend it in the areas that you love. One area J. Beck can help you is with the rising cost of fuel prices. Why not remap your vehicle to gain more power and better fuel economy through their chip tuning service? Chip tuning can be done on many vehicles, including various trucks and tractors, and conditions apply. With over 30 years combined experience in small engine cars and diesel engines, Jade and his team are qualified in both diesel and petrol vehicles. They offer a mobile field service unit including breakdown services, all mechanical repairs, engine rebuilds, as well as aircon and auto electrical services. To find out more, just find JBeck Mechanical Repairs on Facebook, email jbeckinvestments@gmail.com or call or text 0492 594 058. Tell them Brendan sent you for a free cuddle, and trust me, that's better than a handshake, because Jade's fingers will crush you. J. Beck Mechanical Repairs, offering chip tuning. Unleash the power within. Again, just coming back to your mindset, though, where did footy sit with you on that scale? Like you say, you were sort of, as far as knowing what was happening with you medically, you were sort of a little bit out of it. But then when you sort of started to come to, did you start thinking about footy again, or did you start thinking, I need to just get myself right here first?
I sort of knew that footy was done for the year.
Yep.
As hard as it sort of hit me. I sort of just needed to focus on myself because I hadn't eaten for the whole week, so I'd lost 10 kilos. I was, basically stick and bone. And I remember first walking into the footy club and, the boys were coming off the track and China come up to me and goes, "Jesus Christ, have you been in locked in a cave?"
You look like a caveman. Castaway.
I thought that was pretty funny, but definitely just needed to put weight on and stuff. But there was probably a week after where I still wasn't eating much. I was sort of only really drinking milk and little bits of bread, and it was definitely a long 2-3 weeks on the toilet.
Yep.
just not being able to control when you were going. So I wasn't able to do much.
Yep.
If it was much, it was always a toilet nearby.
Yep. I was going to say, you wouldn't be able to strafe too far from the toilet, or it wouldn't have been pretty, would it?
Yeah, it was coming out quite quick at times.
But I suppose a relief, though, to know that things are working.
Yeah, things are working.
And so as far as the team playing through finals and that sort of stuff, how did you feel there, or how did you support them or watch them and stuff? How did you go about that?
They were all unreal about it. Knew that I was down, and they all got around me, and I was down there Tuesday, Thursday, helping them out, just doing what I can. And having Oliver in the side, he sort of got me involved, and then there was Lockie playing in the under-18s as well, so it was always sort of something for me to do.
Yep. Keeping you busy.
Yeah.
Yep. And did it sort of play on your mind or worry at all that obviously that team featured like a lot of your good mates? You know, Bainan was in that side and Lockie Cowan was in that side and that as well. Did you sort of feel at all like you were missing out, or did you feel sort of sad about that at all? Or?
I just knew I was missing out, but I was just happy for them. Like to see how well they were going.
Yep.
And they all got around me. I couldn't be... couldn't have better friends, really, the way they got around me. And even Hawksy, Simo, Caleb, he was pretty big. He sent me a few messages, just knowing from the year before when he did his arm.
Yep.
And his injuries. So, yeah, they all got around me.
Yep. And you ended up being the runner in that game, didn't you?
Yeah, that was one of the things I said to a couple of the doctors in the hospital. I said, I'll run them for the grand final, and they weren't real happy about it. I don't think they were stoked about it. I didn't think I was going to be able to do it, but yeah, that was one of the things I wanted to be able to do for the team. So
yeah, did you find, was it any pain or anything in doing that? Or
no, it wasn't much pain. I had a compression band, big compression band, just around my belly, just to try and keep things nice and tight.
Yep. So what was that, like a month after your accident, was it?
Yep. Been a month. Yeah.
Yep. And was it still important for you to be part of the day? Do you just still feel like you're actually part of the day and part of the team? Or?
Yeah, just being on the bench, especially like, and all the heat that was involved in it, just on the bench and just running a few messages out, and even when they kick a goal, you're out there. Yeah, just to get around them, it felt pretty special.
Yep. Yep. How do you reckon you would have gone if you couldn't do that, if you had to sit in the grandstand and watch them?
Well, it would have been hard for me. It would have been biting me nails.
You would have wanted to run out there. It was a pretty nail-biting sort of game, wasn't it? It was pretty close. Game. Yeah. And so what were your feelings then when they finally won, when the siren went?
I was happy for them.
Yep.
I was real happy for them. And then it sort of finally hit me that I didn't get to play in one of them, at least one of the grand finals.
But, yep.
I couldn't be more happy for them, the way they went about it. And
how long did it take to hit you, though, that, you might have missed your chance? Or
I sort of got back into the change rooms and KB was talking and there was everyone there. And, I remember just standing next to Bain, and then KB said something about how I ran in the grand final and thanks and that. And then it sort of realised that, I might have missed my chance. And, it was pretty teary, but I got through it.
Yeah. How did you get through it? Did you talk to anyone about it, or did you make
I just sort of celebrated with them and
drowned your sorrows.
Yeah, they didn't leave me out of it. I was pretty, they all got around me and celebrated with me and made sure I was involved in everything. So,
So you pretty quickly sort of pushed forward,
moved on.
Were you able to have a beer? Hopefully, there's no doctors listening. I don't know.
I don't think, I was able to have a beer.
Yeah,
celebrated with them. Saturday night and Sunday, I got pretty sore Monday, so snuck off a little bit earlier. But
And what did Kurt say to you, like, about missing out on the game and moving forward and that sort of thing? Did he sort of have a chat to you after it all?
Yeah, a little bit of chat to me.
Yep.
And we both knew that there's not much I could have done about it last year, so we'll move on to next year and hopefully we get one there, which we're lucky enough to do, so.
Yep, awesome. And obviously we'll talk about that year. So what was your mindset that pre-season? Did missing out on that won't give you any extra motivation? Did you train any harder at all? Or
gave me a lot of motivation. Simo put something in the group chat early, it wasn't long after we won it, said I'll be down running. And yeah, Oliver said, righto, let's go, and we'll straight down there into it. And,
yep.
Yeah, and then just our own sessions with Oliver, and then we had Bain, and who was heading over to Norwood, so he wanted to be a little bit fit, and then you had Cowan there as well running for the Devils, and yeah, so you always had somebody to run with, and yeah, sort of just got down and just did a little pre-season on my own before I went back, so I wasn't too unfit.
Yep. Did you have to sort of get advice from the doctors when you could start running and that sort of thing, or did you just sort of hook into it?
Yeah, I had to go see a physio, and
yep.
Yeah, just have to strengthen up my abs and do little ab workouts, and
yep.
Yeah, straight running, and that, nothing strenuous on the sort of hips or belly.
Yep, yep. So would you say last year then you were fitter than you'd ever been?
Yeah, I reckon.
Yep. Just from that extra work.
From that extra work, that yep. little pre-season.
And how would you rate your year last year that you had?
Obviously
it ended well, but how was the year itself?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yep. Did you play every game?
Yeah.
Yep.
I played every game, so I was pretty stoked to get through a season in the seniors. And then, yeah, obviously playing off the half-back line, it was something different. And halfway through the year, and I loved it.
Yep.
Yeah, it was a good season.
Excellent. And obviously one of the, I'd imagine, pretty special things that you got to do last year as well was play with both of your brothers, because Lockie sort of debuted, was it sort of about halfway through the year that he
Yeah, it was
came?
Late in the year, probably yep. 5-6 games to go against yep. Latrobe.
Yep. That'd be a big, pretty special moment for your family, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it was pretty cool running out with all three brothers. I haven't done that for a while, so.
Yep. What's it actually like playing with your brothers on the field? Do you get into each other? Are you hard on each other? Or do you look out for each other? How do you...
Oh, it's definitely... It's got its benefits. Like, just say we do something silly or kick it to the other teammate, he's always there going, like, don't worry about it, move on to the next one. Or...
Yep.
Oliver probably given Lockie advice more.
Yep.
And then, playing footy with Oliver's pretty cool. Like, you sort of know what he can do, and sometimes, this probably sounds a bit silly, but sometimes you sort of know where he's going to be, or if I sort of kick it there, he'll be right, or...
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Just that cohesion, you know, you have that sixth sense of, knowing what each other's going to do.
Yeah.
So, again, moving forward, what were your feelings going into the 2022 grand final then?
I was pretty nervous. I was real nervous. So.
Yep. After missing out on the last one, a bit more pressure.
A little bit more pressure, and it was pretty good side up against Wynyard, so.
Yep. And it was a cracking game. Obviously, we won't sort of talk about things that went on in the game because that's been run and done, but it was a very physical game, wasn't there? Like, there's a lot of stuff going on.
A lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Behind the footy, which was a bit disappointing, but it was a real good game of footy, and just hot footy, and a lot of stoppages, and you just had to sort of grind your way through it. And
yep. I remember, like, one instance in the game, I think it was early in the game, you know, the ball got kicked in quite high, and I think Zane Murphy was steaming out, and you had to stand underneath the high ball and take it. And just wanted to ask you, like, again, in a game like that, when, you know, there's no tomorrow, you know, that somebody's going to probably run through you if they get a chance to and stuff, are you conscious of that when you're out in the game, or is that just how you just naturally play, or do you think about,
I think that's just sort of naturally how I play. Like, it doesn't really worry me backing into a contest or going in there with my head over the footy. Like, I actually think the harder you go in it, the less likely you're going to get injured.
Yeah.
Like, that's sort of my thinking about it.
Yeah.
Like, if you sort of go in there half-hearted, you might get more hurt.
Yeah. There is an old school of thought of that, isn't it?
Yeah.
The harder you go. Your old man's probably told you that too, has he?
Yeah. He definitely has.
Yeah. He was a fair footballer himself back in the day. I remember watching him play for Latrobe.
Yeah, he played at Latrobe.
Yeah.
I think he was pretty hard at it.
Yep. Does he talk himself up?
He does, yeah.
Reckons he give you all your ability?
Yeah. No, he's not too bad. He's pretty calm.
Yeah.
Sort of fella.
It's handy to have someone like that around you, though, isn't it? Sort of keep you level-headed and stuff, but... Like I say, I'm just sort of fascinated, you know, your mindset, because I know that you and your brothers are all, you know, courageous sort of players, whether or not it's just something that, you know, you don't think about out there, or it's something that you've actually got to, shit, this might hurt, but I've got to go anyway.
Yeah.
Do you ever have those thoughts out there?
No, I think that's just sort of bred into me, like, see ball, get ball, sort of.
Yeah.
Or if I can mark this, I'll go for it and try and mark it.
Yeah.
If I get hurt, I get hurt.
Yeah. Yep. You do what you got to do for the team, don't you?
Yeah.
Coach's dream, isn't it?
Yes.
How did it feel to sort of finally get there, mate? Like when the siren went, can you remember how it felt for you? I'd imagine it took on probably a bit of extra special for you.
It was real good. I was actually off. I was cramping up in both calves. When the siren went, I was just looked at Tuggy and Dipper and gave him a big hug and then ran out. So
Yeah.
I was, and then all the under 18 boys running out on the field in the reserves. Yeah, I was stoked.
Yeah. It was a big day for the club, wasn't it, to win all three on the day?
Massive day.
Yeah, yeah. Did you sort of reflect at all in that moment of, you know, how far you'd come from the year before? Or?
No, not real. I think I was just sort of taking everything else into... And then I sort of reflected a couple of days later, like... Yeah, but...
Get emotional at all about it?
No, not real. I was just that happy that I'd finally got one and a few of the other boys had finally got one.
Yep. Yeah, and obviously, you know, Keegan being able to play in that one as well. Keegan's missed out the year before.
And then, it was pretty special to play with your three brothers in a grand final. Like,
I was going
to
ask you that. Not many people get that opportunity.
No, not many people get that opportunity to play in a grand final. Like, never mind play with your three brothers. Like, that's pretty special.
Yep, absolutely. And what were the celebrations like?
Yeah, they went on for a couple of days. That was definitely long days.
Yep.
But...
Tested your other form of fitness.
Yeah, it's tested the other form of fitness.
But, how'd you hold up, do you reckon?
All right. I think I was one of the last 10 going.
Yep.
They were long days, but funny memories that you won't get back.
Yeah. It's sort of a fine line, isn't it? Because you want to celebrate and have a drink and celebrate hard, but you probably also want to remember a fair bit of it too. Or maybe that's just when you get to my age, mate, you don't want to drink too much because you have blackouts. Maybe you're a bit more piss fit than I am. But what's the future hold for you, mate? Obviously, you're going to play at Devonport again this year, but have you got any ambitions to travel or play anywhere else? Or do you just see yourself sort of burn around
sort
here?
Sort of see what comes in life and cruise about and see, work for Dad and... play footy at Devonport, Devonport sort of where I'm at the moment.
Yep. Awesome. Yeah, it's a good club. Good club to be part of. And so you don't have any effects from your injury anymore? Like you're fully healed from it? Like footy-wise, though, it doesn't sort of give you any grief or anything like that?
No, it's all healed up, so...
Yep. That's pretty much all the questions that I've got for you, mate. Thanks for coming in, mate. Like, as you know, I've really been looking forward to chatting with you. It's been a long time coming, so it's given me more time to develop a few more cool questions to hit you with. But, obviously really looking forward to seeing what you do on the field this year, you and your brothers and the Devonport Footy Club themselves. And, you know, it's been really good to, you know, to talk through your setbacks and just, to show people... A lot of people that listen to the podcast know that a lot of people that do come on, or most people that come on, have been through some tough times and stuff. And, you know, if people look at you, you know, running around, you know, happy, healthy, you know, playing good footy, but obviously you went through a pretty hard time. And, you know, I'd imagine, you know, not only physically, it'd be hard on you emotionally going through that as well. And I think it's something that obviously, well, hopefully people can take a bit of inspiration from that, you know. Not everyone can play in a grand final. Sometimes people will get left out or sometimes people will get injuries. But, you know, you and your redemption story, again, that won't happen to everyone, but you can always bounce back and put yourself in the best position to succeed again. And, you know, if you just keep sticking at it, hopefully that success will come. And, yeah, hopefully you guys can go three in a row. And like I say, when I see you down the street, just make sure you word Ollie up because I might just go up and start talking to him because obviously now you've been on the podcast, mate, we're mates, so I've got to run into you down the street and have a chat to you. So if it's Ollie, just tell him I'll call him Fletch and just start talking because I'm not that cluey. So.
He'll go along with it.
He will. He's a good man. As you are, mate. So thanks very much for coming in and we'll talk to you soon.
No worries. Thank you for having me.
Great to finally sit down with Fletcher. Like I said in the pod, I'm trusting that it was him and not Ollie playing an elaborate prank on me. The main thing I took from Fletcher's story is the old saying, it's not what happens to you in life, it's how you respond to it. After his accident, Fletcher got straight into his recovery and he was more driven than ever to be part of a premiership. And after missing out, he was lucky enough to get there last year. Like we said, not all people will have Fletcher's fairy tale story, but I believe if you approach setbacks with the right attitude and focus not on what happens to us, but what we can do to get where we want to go, good things more often than not will happen to you.